Good morning. Welcome to Liz Talk Sunday. I'm Liz Dalton. So glad to be with you today. There's nothing that's going to keep me away from you, just like Diana Ross says, because there is too much to talk about. I have long awaited an interview with Bob and Maxine Burton, with Burton and Burton, and they are here today to talk to me about life, business, and anything else I decide to ask them. It's a pleasure and a privilege to have them.
Pleasure to be here.
Great.
We've been looking forward to this, Liz.
Thank you. Well, first of all, it's amazing that there's a time that the two of you together can do this interview. So that is highly unusual, is it not?
Now, Liz, you've got to talk about how we missed our first interview.
Yeah, that's true. Oh. All my fault, but it was a good reason. I do have to admit that I scheduled them for August the 12th, which happened to be the day right at almost that very moment that my new grandson was born, my only grandson, little baby Dalton. So anyway, that was an excuse that I felt was legitimate, so we had to reschedule.
We decided to forgive you.
Thank you.
What a great reason not have the interview and talk that day. What a great occasion. I know it's wonderful. And it's so cute. You showed us the pictures. How cute.
Thank you so much. Well, it is surreal at first. I don't know if you all found this to be the case, because I know you all have, what, three grandchildren?
Three, yes.
So the first one is, I just felt in a state of, it was just surreal. And then last week it became real. Like, wow, this is an honor. How is it with you all?
Nothing to describe it.
I know.
You always hear about that people say there's nothing like it, but I think you have to have your own to realize that that's really true.
Yes.
That they're very special.
Yes, that's right.
You see grandmother and grandfather, they're showing the picture of the grandbaby, and everyone that doesn't have one, they don't understand. They just like, here comes another one of those crazy grandparents. But it's so interesting when they have one.
It's
then
all
the
about
whole
it.
Mood changes. I understand now. I get it.
That's exactly right. And by the way, I think Maxine and I share the same desire not to be called granny or grandmother, which there's nothing wrong with that. But I didn't want that because I just felt youthful and vibrant. And so I'm Mimsy, and you're what? Cece?
Cece.
That's great. Well, whatever you're called, it's a great experience. So indeed, that was why we missed the first one. But how difficult is it for you all to coordinate your schedules and be somewhere together for a period of time?
Well, we're together a lot, but it's kind of hard to coordinate our schedules in Athens along with other people's schedules. So that,
yes.
I know we've been trying to do this interview for a couple of years,
yes,
now, so it's been difficult to catch us in town on the right day.
That's right. Now, travel, the way you all travel just amazes me, because I think I would walk around with my face dragging on the floor. I would be so exhausted. You, Maxine, in particular, travel a great deal to China.
To China and to the Philippines and India and to Europe a lot, too.
Wow. And Bob, do you travel
still go
as
to
much?
China, still don't travel as much as she does. Mm-hmm. But for both of us, travel is still just an exhilarating experience. We like it. We'll do it when we're not traveling for business, we travel for pleasure. We like to travel. We always have. So it's something that doesn't bother us. We like to travel.
Something we've always involved our children in. So now they love to travel and always have loved to travel. So you can hardly keep them to stay at home. So that's a good thing, though, when you're in a business that you need to travel. It makes it nice when you enjoy traveling.
Exactly, because if it were a chore, it would not be the same situation.
What's interesting is, see, the grandchildren, they travel and they think nothing of it. It's just like a way of life. And they climb on that plane and they're ready to go. And so it's in their blood, too. I think it's going straight to them.
I think it's a legacy you all are leaving. But you really do travel a lot for your business. And tell me what the purpose of going to China, for example, is in regard to Burton & Burton.
Well, you know, we do a lot of manufacturing. Mm-hmm. So we actually do all the design work here, but we'll go over and just work in the factories. It's not that because people go, oh, you're going on a buying trip. We don't actually go on buying trips. We don't buy anything when we're traveling. We actually do all the buying in Athens or in Bogart.
Yes.
And So, but we're over just looking at new materials and letting our artists see what are some new things that they can use to design items that we sell.
That's okay. I did not realize that. So you mm-hmm. do not purchase things when you're in China.
We've never purchased a single thing, I don't think, on a trip.
Uh-huh. I think that's a misnomer. A lot of people think that you all do travel to the Orient and other places to get things for your business here.
We do. We are over there designing and working
designing,
on items.
Right.
So we'll produce items that will be purchased later.
Right.
But we're not purchasing them while we're over there.
Yeah.
So
purchase
there won't
orders.
Be any.
The purchase orders are actually cut in Athens, Georgia. That's when they're issued. And so,
yes.
But it's amazing to see the artists and Maxine and people sit down and present artwork, come up with ideas, create items, and then see it on the shelves in stores and see what's created. It's still intriguing, and it's an amazing process.
My goodness, isn't that wonderful? So how many years, Maxine, has... Well, how did it all start? That's what I've always wanted to know, because here's what I've heard. You had a balloon shop in a basically a closet at one of the high schools.
Well, that's not true. So,
so that's
okay. That's totally. I guess where the high school comes in is the fact that we used to do Balloon University at Clark Central when
okay.
we were bringing our customers from around the country, because at that time the Classics Center did not exist. So we had to find a place large enough to host our customers coming in. At that time, we'd have about 1,000 people. So we took over Clark County, Clark Central High School for a week.
Right.
So,
but it wasn't selling balloons out of a closet.
No, not selling balloons out of a closet. And, you know, I hear people, I started out of my car, I started out of my garage, and none of those stories are really true. I actually started out of a business.
Uh-huh.
As you know, Bob started Flowers Incorporated Wholesale.
Right.
We were involved in that business, Flowers Incorporated Retail and Flowers Incorporated Wholesale. So I had worked at the wholesale house most of the time we've been married, which 9 years. I taught mm-hmm. school before we got married, and then I taught school 1 year while we were married, but I'd worked at the wholesale house. And we also used to sell plants when plant stores were coming up. I think you might can remember mm-hmm. when there used to be plant stores on corners. That was
yes.
really before the balloon shop. So I had sold the plants to the plant shops across the southeast, and we had a deliver guy that would go out and deliver them, and Bobby would buy the plants. So I understood a lot about selling to either flower shops or nurseries or to the flower shops because of our wholesale flower shop, and then doing the plant route and understanding how that market emerged into regular businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So when the balloon shop started popping up, I came up with an idea to sell balloons in the flower shop. So I actually put some balloons at the time the retail store, and different retail stores in the area started calling and asking, and I said, well, I'm going to start a wholesale business selling balloons to the flower shops because I understand this market. And
right.
I came up with the idea to do balloons with messages on them and do nice patterns on the balloon. So it was really my concept to do a nice design along with a message on a balloon.
Yes.
At that time, there were a few messages on balloons, but not really patterns that were on balloons.
Oh, my goodness. I remember when balloons became the rage, but you were behind a lot of that.
Well, yes.
Yes.
We weren't the first people in the business, but we were one of the first people to sell to the floral industry that understood mm-hmm. the floral market.
Well, I think the rest of it is history, but I still want to hear about it because it has really boomed in a way that very few things do. Now, Bob, why did you start? What was your interest in starting Flowers Incorporated Wholesale?
They thought they could make a designer out of me, and about a year later, they figured out that wasn't going to happen. I said, I enjoy the buying and selling of product, and I said, I believe I could help with this. And so we opened the wholesale house,
uh-huh.
and I enjoyed that very much. And basically today, it's still doing selling of product wholesale. We're still in that business, so that's been a lot of years.
Yeah,
but we're not in Flowers Incorporated Wholesale
right,
or retail.
Right,
that we haven't been involved in that business in 20 years.
Right,
so.
Exactly. But what were you doing before that, Bob?
Before in school, Flowers? That's all I've ever done.
Okay,
when I got out of
How
school, I went to work in the floral industry, and that's all I've ever done. 43 years.
Fascinating, and it's wonderful to hear that you still love it. And yes, you have. I want to clarify that you have been out of Flowers Incorporated. And Flowers Incorporated Wholesale for quite some time. Now, it was, however, Flowers Incorporated Balloons up until
Well, we kept the name even once the businesses were separated because it was such an important name.
Right.
We're the leader in the balloon industry. So when we separated 20 years ago, we didn't decide to change our name until 2006. So,
yes.
So we had started and some of our products being sold under the name Burton & Burton around 2000. And then we decided to hire an imaging company and to come up with a name to kind of bridge the company because it was really difficult because Flowers Incorporated Balloons really didn't describe what we were doing any longer. It had always been a strange name for us. And then if you did the letters for it, that's FIB, fib, so people didn't really want nice products with the word fib on the bottom. So we kind of had a bad problem because we could have done, you know, the FIB.
Right.
But if people read it the wrong way, they would, you know, didn't want to say that. So we hired an imaging company, and then they came back with the Burton & Burton and did the – and everyone always asks about who's the little Burton and who's the big Burton, but there's a funny story behind that. It's really not for either one of us. I guess the Burton & Burton is, but the fact that the first – Burton is all lowercase just because all the fun things we do, the balloons, which came first.
Yes.
And then the uppercase Burton, the second Burton's all in uppercase, is for all the more sophisticated things that we do. So
I think
kind of merging of the two.
Yes, it's wonderful. I'm looking at it. Burton plus Burton, it's like an equation. Then there's a line, the total, capital, total gift experience. So it really is. But the name change I thought was interesting. And again, I may have wrong information, but you all did get your employees' feedback on the logo.
Oh, yes. We asked them to come up with ideas, and we had a lot of our employees involved with the when we hired the imaging company, and they were very involved, and it wasn't just our decision.
Yes.
And for a number of years, the phones had been answered, Flowers Incorporated Balloons, Burton & Burton.
Mm-hmm.
So that name had begun to catch on to our customers, so they didn't notice quite as much change because that had already been used over and over.
Mm-hmm. And we continued that campaign for over a year after we changed our name. We would answer. We just flipped it. We started Burton & Burton, Flowers Incorporated Balloon. I think that's the way we did it. We tried to get the Burton out there first, but we let them know they were still calling the same company.
Yes, because...
And also our catalogs, we did that. We'd do a tear-off sheet that still would have both names on it. But actually, the name Burton & Burton that the imaging company went with was the name that the employees... came up with originally, because when we had the home decor items, we asked everyone to submit names, and our employees overwhelmingly decided to come up with the name Burton & Burton.
Mm-hmm.
And since we had that name, the imaging company came up with several other names, but then they felt like, and we did too, and all the employees, that the Burton & Burton, since we'd already been advertising it for 6 years for the home decor items, would be what we should go with. And that way we weren't introducing something totally new.
Exactly. So internally, it was more familiar than externally. So I think using both to kind of make the transition smooth for the public and for your vendors and for everybody else was brilliant, like everything else you all have done.
Well, I think what the imaging company really did for us is came up with our logo.
Yes.
I don't know that we would ever have thought through, you know, the lowercase Burton and the uppercase Burton. It wasn't necessarily that they gave us the name. They gave us the total image.
Right, and the
concept
look.
They came up with was they helped us take that all the way through the marketing process. I think back to one customer that called in, though, and I think Maxine asked them, said, what about the name? Customer said, I don't care what you call yourselves. You keep shipping on time and keep shipping good quality. Said, I don't care what your name is. Said, I'm going to keep buying from you.
Well, there you go.
We did that a lot. We went at the trade shows. You know, a lot of times they tell you not to tell people if you're changing your name, but I was so worried about it. I would ask customers all the time, and I think that was good because we always keep our employees and our customers real involved. I think that's important because we're like a family. So,
well, it is like a family out there. And I remember, let's see, remind me, Bob, when was the building built? Well, I know you had one structure, and then it went ba-bam.
Well, we moved into the building we're in now in December of 87, but as you said, we've added on many times and many more buildings. So,
and if you haven't been out there, it's out on Cleveland Road. It's really a phenomenal experience in that the growth, number one, and that you have, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, a salon for your employees.
We do.
A lunchroom for your employees. What are some other perks of working for Burton & Burton that are unexpected?
Well, we do help with childcare, so that's unusual.
Yes.
We just do a lot of fun things. It's just a very fun environment. We just do unexpected things a lot, I think. I mean, we have profit sharing. We also do the 401k.
Yes.
Matching
funds.
I think one thing that is interesting about the company is when a person runs into difficulty, mm-hmm. whether it's through a death, an illness, or a family illness or so forth, and you'll see the employees come together and they'll say, let's have a luncheon.
Mm.
And they'll bring in a covered dish and the people eat and contribute maybe $5. And uh-huh. when it's over, those hundreds of dollars will go to that person to help them over the hump.
Yes.
And it's just a work of love that they have for one another. And that touches us when we see that,
yes.
because they're reaching out to one another. And it really helps some folks when they're out and they have sickness or they have problems and so forth to see them come together and help one another.
That is so inspiring, but that obviously is the environment that you all have created, because you, like you said, it's a family environment. And I don't think many companies can say that. What's your turnover as a result of these things?
Very low turnover.
I can see why.
We've got a problem right now, because the upper parking lot is reserved for people with 15 years of
morale spaces.
You know, they've been there 15 years or more. And so general manager came the other day and said, we got a problem. We've got some more people coming in and we're out of parking spaces. So we had to come up with some more spaces. I said, you know, what a wonderful problem. That longevity, what a wonderful problem, because they offer so much as they learn over the years and what they contribute,
yes.
and what they bring. It's amazing. And if that loyalty
is
invaluable.
It is. That's a beautiful word.
It's good we have the other buildings, because we have a lot of people with 15 plus in the other buildings. So we would already be halfway in the other parking lot with the 15-year people. It's amazing, because I had we had the CEO of the port here this weekend, and he was going through the building on Friday and uh-huh. having people say how many years they've been there. We were talking about it, and you know, 25, 29, 28. And a funny story was, I was talking to someone one day, and they were asking me about the people just like you, about how long mm-hmm. their attender is with us. And I was saying, well, you know, we have a lot of people that have been there 20, 25 years. And I was telling them about the story about the parking lot. You have to be there at least 15 years to get a parking space, uh-huh. and the parking lot's full. And they're going, you must have a lot of older people that's getting ready to retire. And I'm going, well, we don't really have really old people. I started thinking, because most of these people, it's their first job out of college that's been with us. So, I mean, you have people you're standing there, you're looking at as 29 years old, but they're still very, very young. And we hope they're going to be there 29 more years. So our years of service is amazing, how many years of service we have with our employees.
You truly also is. Look at that, and you watch these people come to work there. Some of them are married, some of them are not when they come. And you watch them get married. You watch the children as they come in to the family, and then you watch them graduate from high school, going to college, and you just, it's amazing to watch the process.
Yes, it really is. It's a legacy you're leaving in a business world, which you don't expect like that, this kind of tremendous loyalty and respect for you all and for one another. So congratulations on that. And it makes me, I think I want to live there.
But it's great to go to shows. Atlanta Mart, the Dallas Mart, the Las Vegas Mart. And customers come in and they ask about their salesperson, mm-hmm. the people that work with them, or someone that works in the warehouse that's called them about a package or shipping. And there's a bond. They know these people.
Yes.
They've worked with them for a long uh-huh. time. They trust them. And it's just the bond, and they ask about them, they care about them. So it's really, really neat to see that when
Absolutely.
You travel.
Absolutely.
And also, they sometimes stay, they'll wait an hour or two on that person if they're busy, and they'll say, no, I don't want anyone to help me with that person, mm-hmm. because they have that bond of talking to them all the time.
Wow.
And it's just that like you're talking about, the bond is between the customers and the employees, and also the employees and the other employees. So I think that we do have I think we're kind of unique with that. That's
yes.
one thing that people talk about when they walk in our building, that they feel a closeness.
Yes. Oh, I would agree. Absolutely would agree. I'm talking to Bob and Maxine Burton. They own Burton & Burton, and it is really an empire, yet it has an atmosphere that is unexpected. Tell me some numbers. Bob, I'll start with you. How many designers?
Well, we're kind
of
broken.
Two different kind of designers.
Okay.
Well, actually, three.
Okay.
We have three different kind of designers, because we have the graphic artists that do all the catalogs, and then we have the artists that actually produce all the designs for the products. And then we have the visual merchandisers that do the showroom. So we break hours. That's really kind of unusual. Usually that's one department in a company. But we feel like we have to get our showrooms done, and also we'll go out and do seminars. And so those people do that. And then the designers, the artists are really having to make sure they're getting the products developed, mm-hmm. and then the graphic artists have to make sure we have the catalog, so we feel it works better for us. So about 50 people total with that,
with the design and different areas of expertise for those specific design areas. What about salespeople?
About 40.
Okay.
And maybe a few more than that when you consider the corporate salespeople also. So
there's more than that. About 45.
I guess. So does the sales team travel? Do they call from cubicles? Do they visit people in town? How does that work?
Well, you have different groups. You have the people who take the phone calls, they're in cubicles, mm-hmm. and most of the salespeople are in cubicles, but some of them travel more than others.
Right.
Some of them travel doing corporate work, so they'll be on the road quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And they do shows. So when you do the shows, we have several shows a year,
right?
And they're throughout the United States. And when I say several, maybe 50.
I'm thinking 5 to 7 is several. No, it's 50. Wow.
But a lot of these folks are on the road a lot, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. carrying the word and trying to get folks to know more about us, and
then
trying to keep those bonds going, mm-hmm. and everything. So we're very fortunate to have people that are very trustworthy, and they're dynamic.
Yes.
They reach out to people, and people relate to them. And they've done a super job.
That's right.
For us.
Who are your clients? I mean, for example, Kroger, grocery stores.
We sell to grocery floral, mostly mm-hmm. high-end grocery floral. If we sell to the floral, and we sell a different kind of product line to them than we do to. We would sell more floral containers. Mm-hmm. We sell the balloons, and we sell anything that's floral related to the grocery store. And then we sell to retail flower shops or really mm-hmm. large, but they would sell a little bit more even diverse products than maybe the grocery store would.
Yes.
And then we sell to the hospital gift shops, and mm-hmm. we sell to the mom and talk boutique shops. So it's a wide array of customers.
Yes.
And so because we have over 15,000 items, so we can relate to different businesses. We sell to a lot of businesses that just buy window displays from us too, because we are really good at creating window displays.
Wow.
So maybe a children's shop might come in and just buy things that they can put in their front window.
How interesting. So how do you originally get those clients, and then obviously you cultivate that relationship?
Well, we have catalogs that go out mm-hmm. constantly, and then we also have our showrooms in Atlanta, Dallas, and Vegas. And then we are on the internet. We have a website,
mm-hmm.
so it's a mixture. But
yes.
a lot of people come in and do window displays probably would first see us at one of the marts. We
yes.
have over 10,000 square feet in all three of the major marts.
Wow. I mean, these are just big numbers and huge results that speak for themselves. Bob, I'm shifting gears here because you were mentioning how people rally around each other. Well, you've had your health issues over the past few years, and I know that they have rallied around you. How has that made you feel?
It just inspires one. You know, mm-hmm. I've had cancer almost 6 years ago. I have not had any relapse and I got a clean bill last week. I went to see the
wonderful.
Doctor and told me, said, you don't have it anymore. But
excellent.
I went out to MD Anderson for the surgery, and it was interesting. Got through with the surgery, and we were out there, and the family was out there and so forth, but we went in there and visited that gift shop at MD. They're selling our stuff in that gift shop. And then when it was finished, it continued. And mm-hmm. We saw the folks the other day, and they sort of laughed, and they said they didn't know I've been a patient there, but where there's a gift shop, we want to be represented.
That's right.
It's a hospital or wherever. But
no
I'm blessed.
No matter what you're going through.
And the employees in the community is very inspiring, the way they rallied around.
Mm-hmm.
So many prayers, so many people called, so many emails.
Yes.
And it makes a difference when you're going through that and it's unexpected. Think mm-hmm. you're healthy as a horse, and next day you're in the hospital.
Right.
That's not what you expect.
That's right.
That happens to someone else. That doesn't happen to me.
Isn't that the way we always think? That's right. Well, congratulations on the Bill of Health. That's wonderful news. Maxine, what do you think have been the biggest challenges for you as a woman in such a high-powered position, really?
I think in the beginning, you know, sometimes, especially 32 years ago, it was very difficult that people always were thinking a man was in charge. Mm-hmm. So I did get that some. But, you know, once people realize that you understand what you're doing and you do have control, then that wasn't such a problem either.
Yes, yes. How is it that you all work so well together? Because you hear so many spouses saying, that would never work. I could not possibly do that. We'd kill each other, you know, that type of thing. But you all, and I'm sure it's been trying at different times, but what do you think the key to success from that perspective is?
Mutual respect.
Mm-hmm. And you know, you look at things and you enjoy doing it together.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got similar values.
Mm-hmm.
And I think working for a common goal.
Right.
It's interesting. One day someone came into Maxine and they said, Bob said this and that. She said, no, he didn't. So she came in my office. Well, you have adjoining offices. She said, come in here. She said, did you say so-and-so? I said, no, you know better than that. I wouldn't say that. She said, I told you. He wouldn't say that. So you know each other's values. You know pretty much you can predict what they're going to say.
Right.
And traveling, we'll go together and we'll see product. And it's almost like both of us say, we like that.
Yes.
You know, one day she called me in and said, do you like this? I said, yeah, that'll sell.
Uh-huh.
She said, I told them it'd sell. So they didn't want to order it. We're going to order that. We ordered it. It sold. And you're not always perfect, but you got a pretty good, after a while.
Right. You have a rhythm.
You got an innate, you know, you just got it. You can see it and you got a pretty good idea of what sold over the years. And our daughter, she runs the import department now. And she said, y'all carry so much in your head, just your experiences. Said, that takes a while to learn. Said, because y'all can look at something and you can just both nod at each other and y'all communicate and said, you don't say anything.
That's right. Not written down in a manual. So I guess that has to be done at some point. But that's very, very cool.
I think we're good at bouncing ideas off each other.
Mm-hmm.
Or one will get one started. I'm not as good about getting started on talking as Bob is. He'll start to say something and I can go from there, but sometimes
right.
I'm not as quick to think, but mm-hmm. I'm good after he gets me started.
Absolutely. So
there you go.
That's what it takes. Okay, so work aside, what do you do for fun? Okay,
oh,
I know
gosh.
Your work is fun, but what do you do for fun?
I
Please
think
tell
that's
me
my
you do
success.
Something.
Well, we enjoy going to the lake and we like uh-huh. to go to Costa Rica, but we involve work in everything we do almost because mm-hmm. we enjoy what we do. So it revolves around that. And the same thing with our children. We involve them anytime they're able to travel with us, they travel with us. Now Rachel's doing the same thing with her children.
Oh,
anytime
wonderful.
She's able to have them travel, Robbie went to China with us last spring. I think that.
And he's how
and
old?
He was. 7 at the time. He was 7. He was almost 8. And then Ella is 6, and she's going this spring.
Oh,
so she'll be almost 7 when she goes. So we were trying to mm-hmm. do that,
yes.
you know, to do things. So that's one thing that our son said. It's kind of funny, and also Rachel will say, it's kind of funny. We kind of see our lives. So.
Yes, yes.
But
wow.
even when Robbie was over there in China, he speaks a few words of Chinese.
Uh-huh.
And so he walked up, you know, and he said a couple of words. And they look at him like, this little big-eyed kid is speaking Chinese, you know. And this little, he looked down at him, and he doesn't speak.
Right.
He's not fluent by any stretch. But he knows a few phrases, a few words. And so he likes it when they can understand him and so forth. And so it'll be fun to watch Ella as she goes and throw out
yes.
a few phrases and, you know, see the culture. He was very intrigued with the culture.
Mm-hmm. I think that experience for children, I mean, that is invaluable. All that is good, and it's going to help them grow and be successful. And I'm sure your children and your grandchildren see what they want to be through you all in some capacity. Maybe not exactly the same, but they take what they see that they can best. Where they can best fit, I would think.
Actually, all three grandchildren work in the showroom. They'll come in and they'll give out cookies. And it was funny, this past summer, Ella, which is the middle one that's 6, she's already given out cookies and everything. And she comes in and she goes, I want to use the scan guns. I want to take an order. I am here. I am not here to play. I am here to work.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, this is the blonde-haired, blue-eyed one that likes shoes, jewelry, and makeup. And I don't know where she got that, but she didn't get it from her mom. I think the old apple didn't fall far from grandmother's tree.
I was going to say that sounds like somebody I know. Well, maybe that's her whole line. I've been talking to Bob and Maxine Burton again with Burton and Burton. It's just a real pleasure to speak with you all. So as we move toward closing, community involvement, despite the amount of time you're gone, despite the number of employees you have to manage, the issues you've had to deal with, you still find time to give back in significant ways to the community, and not just through dollars, I mean, through time. So why is that important? I'll start with you, Bob.
We live in as nice a community as anyone could wish for. People say, Athens, Georgia. I said, have you been there? Some people say yes and say, I remember, it's a lovely city. I want to come back. And those that say I have not should visit here, mm-hmm. because what a wonderful place to live and raise a family, and it has so much to offer. So why would you not give back to a community that you enjoy that much? Mm-hmm. And it's been so good to us. It's one of a kind.
I think it's our obligation to give back. We've been very fortunate, and we want to make sure that other people in the community, if they are less fortunate, that we can help them in some type of way.
Yes.
The same way as our employees. Our employees are very motivated mm-hmm. to help with any of the different charitable organizations. Mm-hmm. We have, as you know, we always do all the walks.
That's right. Absolutely. And have a big team. Mm-hmm. So, well, your awards that you have both received are too numerous to name, but Maxine, I feel privileged to share that of the Athena Award with you because that certainly is something that is an honor in this community. And I think that just everything you all have done, all the awards you received are well deserved, and the example you're setting through your business, through your lives, I just think is very powerful. And I hope that anybody who's been listening today who has been living under a rock and not known of Burton and Burton now knows about this tremendous company, but it's so much more. And those of you who have known Bob and Maxine for years, perhaps you've learned something that you didn't know, because that's what I found through the experience of interviewing people. What you think you know may or may not be true, but you always learn something new and different. And I could go on and on, but I do want to thank both of you, Bob and Maxine, for joining me today, and just ask for any closing remarks.
If there's one thing I think that sum up everything we've experienced in the business, in our life, in the family, we have truly been blessed.
Mm. I would have to say the same thing.
Well, we can't say anything better than that. It's been a blessing to have you on the show, and thank you for your time and coming back a second time. I appreciate it so much. Wish you well in all the new ideas that I know are going to flow out for the years to come. So thank you, Maxine and Bob Burton.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you, Liz.